The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the NBA. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitter is cool. Only shooting stars break the mold. I mean, it was pretty obvious that we were going to start off with this, right?
Yeah. I think it's that's probably the final call star. So, hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. It's NBA Pod Week. As you just heard, then we were just talking about like all the All Star starters and the reserves have been named, and we'll talk about that soon. But yeah, it was, well, it's interesting to say the least. I'll put it that way. I'll have my two cents later.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like I said, you know, we sort of went through, I guess, you know, with the snubs as well and guys that, you know, that were there last year that hadn't made it this year. You know, obviously they're always going to get new blood. Usually, you don't get the same, all-star teams every year. There's always a few bits of new blood in there, and yeah, got a few first-time All-Stars again this year, which is really good. So, you know, it's a good, nice, good spread of All-Star talent from a lot of teams and teams that haven't had All-Stars for a little while. So, I think that's really good for the league.
Just on the top, but the Minnesota Timberwolves, who aren't playing as well, they're not playing great, but they're not playing terrible either.
When was the last time you watched the T-Wolves game? I don't know what you're watching.
I'll put it this way. I see a future from what I've seen in Anthony Edwards so far. I see a future. Is really what I guess sort of what I attested that to.
Yeah, look, that's fair enough. Like, you know, he does look the goods. He's still coming off the bench. You know, obviously with the other big rookies from this class, you know, just going through the top three anyway. You know, James Wiseman is coming off the bench as well. You know, LaMelo Ball was coming off the bench to start the season, and now he just undeniably has just thrust his way into the starting lineup for the Hornets. And look, the Hornets, you want to talk about a team that's actually not playing too bad a brand of basketball at the moment. That's the Charlotte Hornets. But I guess we sort of, you know, we swing back to Minnesota and the firing of the son of the late great Flip Saunders in Ryan Saunders there, that's been given the axe, has finally fallen on the first coach of the year after being obliterated by the Knicks.
Well, look, yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, at the end of the day, in his two-plus seasons, he was a 43-94 coach. So, I mean, really,
honestly, what do they expect? Like, what did they honestly expect out of the last 2 years? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you'd think that the expectations in Minnesota, whilst in-house, are probably, you know, lofty expectations, but you know, realistically, like honestly, what did we all think that they were going to be? Like it's they've been a floundering franchise for a little while now, and constantly getting these high draft picks, and they've got to start. I know they've got to start to put it together sooner rather than later, but I just don't know what everybody expected them to be this year.
I totally agree, and then. Which it's just the nature of the beast. Like it's always the coaches that always get fired, like in any sport really. But I mean, you got to look at from what you just said. Then you got to look at the front office. You know, they're the one drafting these players. They're the ones putting these teams together. So it's front office should be accountable
as
well.
They've got a decent foundation there. Like they've got a good base there. You know, obviously they've got Karl Anthony Towns. D'Angelo Russell, who had come across in the trade with Golden State, he's actually gone down for like the next 4 to 5 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks.
He had a surgery. I like the terminology of to remove a loose body from his left knee. So That's, you know, obviously he had some bones sort of floating around in there, which probably would be rather uncomfortable while you're running up and down the court. So they've sort
but
of
he
bitten
was
the bullet there.
He's
averaging 19-5. Like you can't deny that they've got a good base there, and obviously with the number one pick in Anthony Edwards this year, who's not shooting the lights out at the moment, but you know, extremely athletic, and it's like most of these one and done guys, like they generally don't come into the league and light it up, and it's just, like you said, it's the nature of the beast.
What do you just, you know, before we move on to, you know, just because you mentioned him, before we move on to some other news and that. What do you think of Karl Anthony Towns? See, like, really, at the end of the day, what do you think of Karl Anthony Towns?
I don't think he uses his skill set the way that he should. I think he's a little lazy defensively and offensively. Yeah. He loves jacking the threes.
Yeah.
But you have a look at he's a menacing, sizable center. Yeah, 6'11", 7 foot. He's got a thick frame. I just don't like the way that he utilizes his skill set. I think he could be a much more well-rounded player, and it's unfortunate that he gets forgotten a little bit whilst being on the Timberwolves for this point in time. I think that's part of it as well. But you watch his game, I just don't like the way that the evolution of the big man at the moment. And I just don't think that he not so much that, because you look at guys like Joel Embiid and guys like that, they're special. That's right, Jokic. They're special guys. Even Kristaps Porzingis, but you know, Porzingis is a lot more slender than what Karl Anthony Towns is. I just don't think he utilizes his skill set the way that he could maximize. And help out the team. You know, maximize the way that he plays. And the way that they sort of construct the team around him, because he's obviously your star, and it's only a matter of time that he does, you know, an Anthony Davis, that he does a James Harden, and it's just like, look, I've had enough of this just losing.
Interesting you say that. So that's very interesting you say that for two reasons. So firstly, I agree. I think for his size and his skill set that seems to be there, he's extremely lazy on the defense. Very lazy on the defense. He's not a fourth quarter player.
I just think
he's
lazy offensively as well. Like
he just gives up.
What he can do, he just. Yeah. I mean, you watch Minnesota game. He hovers around the 3-point line, and that's his easy out. Like he does. It's like he does. He doesn't want to work down low. He doesn't want to do anything.
And he just reading some news. He found out, when everybody else did that, which is interesting, that Ryan Saunders was fired. But when he's come out and said he wants to build a legacy at the Timberwolves. So
that's a big call.
Well, I know. And that's only, you know, as recent as, what, 2 days ago? Yeah, literally 2 days ago. He said, you know, he just found out, well, he was eating pizza with his father, that his coach was fired, but he wants to build a legacy there. And that's fine. I personally thought, and he's got a pretty friendly contract too, like, you know, it is the highest salary he's going to make in 3 years is like 36. So, you know, that's in the realm of the money going around. That's not too bad.
That's good money.
I honestly would have put James Wiseman with him at number one and just see what would have happened. See if that would have sort of shored up some defense. I just don't know. I like the look of him. I just don't think Anthony Edwards was the right pick at number one.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, hindsight's always 20/22, isn't it? But yeah, it's I don't think it's a matter of fit. I think with the three teams that were picking in this draft, and obviously a lot rested on the shoulders of the Minnesota front office and how they were going to go about it. And you could have honestly seen either Wiseman or Edwards go at number one. I think we'd sort of said before the start of the season came about and before the draft that I just couldn't see LaMelo Ball being teamed up with D'Angelo Russell.
No.
But that's something, like I said, hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, yeah. I just...
Whether or not they could have made that work or not, you don't know. And whether or not it's a... do you take the best fit or do you take the best available player in the draft?
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It would have been interesting if they took him and then put him beside... I don't know which one's going to move to the power forward. I would suspect Wiseman, which, 2 7-footers might work, but... I don't know. I just agree. He's a two-time All-Star. He should be, for his size and, again, his skill set that he should have, he should be, a 5-6-time All-Star. He's been in the league since 2015. That's what I mean. I can't work him out because I don't, That's the thing. No one wants to go, except for his friends, no one wants to go to Minnesota to play. If he was really good, like, they would go to, want to play with him. That's what I mean. He's peculiar.
You think about how Jimmy Butler just tore strips off him while he was there. He sort of got stuck into him for that exact same thing. It was the desire. Jimmy Butler has got that sort of hard edge to him, and he doesn't beat around the bush. And I think that's sort of why he's been successful, going across to the Miami Heat, even though they're not playing that well, but are playing better. Yeah. Now that Butler's come back into the line. Butler's only made 4 threes this year.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What I mean? He's a throwback to a yesteryear where it's the mid range and try and get to the bucket instead of let's just rain threes. Stephen Curry's taking 11 threes a game. It's crazy the way that things are going at the moment. And I was stunned at that he's only made 4 threes this year.
He's that last game, but he was over Toronto. He was balling. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, a block. 3 out of 4 3 points made. The reason I'm reading all that because he got me 42 points in fantasy. So when he's there,
that's right.
Yeah, so, we'll just see what happens with Timberwolves with their new coach.
Did that not feel a little iffy to you that that deal for Chris Finch, who was Toronto Raptors, Toronto / Tampa Raptors assistant, was not so much thrust into the job, but it was announced very quickly that he was going to be a deal was put in place and that he was going to be the new coach there at Minnesota. I just found that a little funny. That's all. They'd sort of preempted this, and then the loss to the Knicks was pretty much the last straw.
Oh, if it's 24 hours, there's no possible way in 24 hours you conduct a meeting, you talk to your front office, you work out a contract. Like, this has been talked about beforehand. Clearly, we can backtrack and look when the last time they played Toronto in Toronto, which is not Toronto, sorry, technically that's at Tampa, but Orlando. Is it Orlando or Tampa? Tampa, isn't it?
They're in Tampa.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, this is not a – it's peculiar that they announced it less than 24 hours. Dame, he thought there was a guy just before we move on. Yeah, he thought there was a guy that – on the bench, an assistant coach named David Vanderpool, who should have probably at least had a look in for the head coach because he was on reading and he was on the Trailblazers bench for 7 years, and he was a huge development, a major on the development of him and CJ McCollum, he said. So that was he was instrumental in getting there
I guess that's good for him then that they didn't lose him. So,
He's at the Timberwolves. But I'm just saying he's saying they should have hired in house, or this is what he's saying. So,
and whether or not whether or not they're going to come out and install the same coaching philosophies as what they've recently had, with Saunders, or they've just gone completely outside the organization and gone like we need some fresh blood in here. And like I said, it's unfortunate, and you'd hope that there's going to be more coaching opportunities around for him that he can maybe get. There's always a few coaching jobs that are going to be out there at the end of each year, and Unfortunately, if you're an assistant, you've just got to sit around and bide your time.
Before we move on to some slides, the sliding teams, not slides, that's what you put in pokies. what do you, just a quick yes or no answer. I haven't said that for years. Before we move on, like, this is a quick yes or no. What are you just reading all this? What do you think of players actively being on social media? Do you like it or don't?
You're not going to stop it. So
yeah, okay.
I think you can be. I think that there are players out there that you can be responsible on there, and but yeah, obviously there's other players out there that just can't help themselves that have got to clap back, and I think to me, I think the way to do it is to try and be, you know, a little bit funny and a little bit clever rather than just going out there and just scolding people. I think that's really the only way to sort of go about it. You're never going to be able to, you know, in this day and age, you know, of social media, is squash all of the noise. I guess they get enough of that from the media, and you know, without having the added, you know, pressure and the added voices of the faceless that come out on social media. So that, like I said, I don't know about you, but this is the day and age that it is now. There's ways to go about it, and there's ways to be, you know, a complete tosser on social media, and there's everything in between. So you know, then there's guys out there that do podcasts and stuff like that, and that are active on social media, and I'll some of them aren't, and you know, they try and block out the noise. So I mean, it's the day and age.
I mean, I would assume there it'll be to an aspect that'll be not scrutinized, but it'll definitely be. There'll be some certain rules, like if you can say so.
Oh,
you
know, absolutely. It would be. I still think it'd be fairly heavily regulated. So yeah, I'm not too sure sort of how they do that sort of, you know, or how they regulate, you know, their social media accounts and stuff like that. So, it's always going to be there now.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's, I mean, it's, you just, if you're a player out there, I think you just got to be a bit smart about it, and yeah, not be a complete, you know, idiot about it, and go out there and start clapping back at people, and do it within reason, and I guess with a little bit of taste, but it, you know, some people, and it's extremely, extremely diverse league, and it's got a lot of different personalities around, and you're going to get those on social media, you know, like the likes of Kevin Durant. You know, there's three of them on the same team, you know, at Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden, just to name three, you know, sort of not necessarily trolls on, you know, on social media, but yeah, they sure like to get involved with people on social media.
Or if you're Draymond Green, you just do it in a press conference.
So. Yeah, you just do it in press. You just light people up in press conferences. He's hilarious in press conferences, man. He just lets loose. It's terrific. Like, there's no topic.
We weren't going to touch on it, but he was right. I mean, what he said, like he said, you know, about the players. Well, you know, basically the whole, you know, players sitting down. Until they get traded, you know, it's funny how, like, you know, basically he said, it's funny how the players can sit down, or the front office can get away with players sitting down, but then you have load management, and then the team, all the players get fined, you know, so what he said was exactly right, but I just love that he just, there's no filter, but he doesn't care what happens.
Oh, there's a very, very thin filter.
Yeah. Wanted to talk about some of the teams that are sliding. I mean, the first being, I mean, I think it's the obvious one, the Lakers, on a four-game losing streak.
What's going on with your boys? Like, you know, we all know that.
Two words.
Anthony, it's not even two words, it's two letters.
Well, two letters, AD. It is.
Yeah, it's two letters and three words, oil of Olay. Like, it's just it's just what it is. Like,
every time. He still looks like he's 23, hey. You realize that? He still looks like he's 23, hence the oil of Olay. That's it. I mean, it's that black and white. It's Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma's playing pretty well. Yes, in losses, which befuddles me.
So was LeBron. Like, they haven't won. They haven't won since they've lost Anthony Davis. So it's a scary precedent.
He shores up so much defense. He is, you know, like, I guess sort of like Rudy Gobert. He is one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Kyle Kuzma,
the thing that's crossed my mind a little bit is, like, LeBron hasn't missed a game this year. He's come out and said that he's not tired and he's going to continue to play the minutes that he is. Obviously, so was it 71 days in between the end of last season and the start of this season? Yeah. When do the Lakers, as a franchise, as a front office, as a coaching, as a coaching team, go up to LeBron and just say, look, maybe we need to either tone it down a little bit minutes wise, or how long until they actually start to rest him? Because I understand that the dude is a genetic freak. He's just a different player than what we've ever seen in the league. How long until this season starts to beat him down? And that's the thing. Look, for me, I'm not worried because I'm not a Lakers fan, but people like yourself a little bit worried that he's gonna burn himself out.
Yes.
He's only got a very small championship window left.
I think he and everybody sees that and everybody reads the stories, he puts $1 million apparently a year into his body. He is otherworldly. Like, there's no, no I've
him,
never
him,
seen
him and Russell Wilson, they do the same thing.
I've never seen no disrespect to Russell Wilson, I've never seen an athlete like this. Like, the size I'll throw Jordan now. He's not this built at that age. Like, I've never seen someone like that. Huh. But age catches up on you, like you've just said. I personally,
unless you're Tom Brady.
Wow. Yeah, that's
he is putting up the good fight against Father Time. Like, he's taken Father Time to round 15.
He puts the money into his body, but he's ridiculous. Like, he will not go past bed, clearly, because you can tell from the celebration. He doesn't go past bed at 9 p.m. That's it. That's when he goes to bed.
You got to get your celebrating out of the way during the day.
So, yeah, but that's what I mean. That's why he was so drunk in those photos, because he's never been up for so long. But going back to the Lakers, I think when just looking at the way Kyle Kuzma's playing, I hope that when AD comes back that they do pull these LeBron's minutes and put Kyle Kuzma in. I don't get... When he's there,
they're going to have to do something, because unfortunately, I think that he's going to get burned out. Even though it's a reduced season, but it's super condensed. LeBron's had a boohoo about having to go play the All-Star game as well. It's totally fair for the guys that. Especially the four teams that were the last four standing. But if you're somebody like, let's just pick two, one from the Western Conference in Steph Curry and one from the Eastern Conference in Julius Randle, who have just been chomping at the bit to get this season underway because they didn't go to the bubble.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Invited to Orlando, that their season effectively ended a very long time ago, whenever everything happened, January, February.
I agree with that.
So they're just chomping at the bit to get this season to go and to hoop.
I totally agree with it. I find it interesting that they can decide, and I'm assuming because it's just off season, but I love how they can decide not to play in the Olympics. But when it comes to the All-Star game, you have to play. You know what I mean? I think that's a bit...
Yeah, no, I understand.
Just a prestige sort of side of it. But anyway, I think he has to. I mean, he's still favorite on the MVP which I find that absolutely ridiculous, at $2.70. Personally, I still think it's Jokic at $6. So I'm waiting that to go a little bit higher before I put some moolah on it.
Just get some cash on it now and then just do it again later.
Yeah.
like I told you, I put money on Julius Randle at $26 to get the most improved player, and I am going to be not a significant amount of money, but just if he leads the Knicks to the playoffs, it would be a travesty for him not to get it.
He's in now at $7 at the moment, so
wow, that's closed up quick.
Unfortunately, Jeremy Grant's really short up $1.45, so.
We talked about this before. You know, is he just stat padding? Like, you know, he's not leading the Pistons to anything.
Doesn't, but either did your boy Ingram last year. He didn't lead him to anything.
No, really. I understand that, but you have a look at what Ingram's doing this year. He's putting up the same numbers, and the Pels.
Oh, I know, sure, but what,
Pels,
I mean,
they were an ordinary team, but they were going through a transitional period. Obviously, yeah. Everybody was waiting for Zion Williamson to come through. Like, I get the comparisons, but we said it before. Somebody's got to do the work there.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. They'll look at that. That's how the only reason I can pinpoint is what happened. You know, Pelicans didn't have a great season last year, but Brandon Ingram was just absolutely ridiculous last year. Hence, he got this massive contract. So that's why I think Jeremy Grant the same thing. And it's going to get even worse when Blake Griffin goes. So his stats going to be out of
I just think it's going to be in the forefront of everybody's mind and everybody's vision that Julius Randle plays for the New York Knicks.
Oh, and it's sure. I totally agree. I think, and we'll talk about him later in the All-Star. But I totally agree. I think we both put him down. I put down Sexton. Wow, that was terrible. I've no idea where Sexton is in the most improved. Sexton's blew out to $34. Maybe I should put some money on him.
That's a futile. No,
it's not going to happen. That's just throwing money away. The other team that was sliding, and they've sort of pinpointed back a little bit in a little three-game winning streak, was the Milwaukee Bucks. They lost
four on the trot.
Yeah, but in the last three, they've won the last sort of three games.
Yeah, that's right.
As recently as today.
They beat Minnesota. So they've had a few sort of, Toronto they lost at home to, and then they lost to Phoenix, Utah, and Oklahoma City, all on the road. So that's a bit of a tough road trip, especially with Utah being in there and the way that they're playing. But a good team, a good team like the Bucks. And Phoenix is on a hot streak at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. But a good team like that is, I don't know. Like, it's the first time that they'd lost four straight since 2019, since they lost four straight to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals, where they were up 2-0 in that series and then lost four on the trot. So that's a sort of different kettle of fish, because that's the playoffs and you're playing the same opponent day in, day out. But I think Giannis is he's the fuel there, but I think they need to get Drew Holiday a little bit more sort of accustomed into this offense. Chris Middleton, I think, was a little unlucky not to make the All-Star team this year, but he's been balling.
I think personally, I still think they're one, and I don't know if they pick one up or they just trade for one. I still think they're one guard short of just that sort of deep finals push. Personally, I like the makeup of the team. Like, Bobby Portis is playing okay, Lopez, Drew Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, but you still don't have that other
Dante
sort of...
DiVincenzo either. Like, I like the kids.
Yeah, but that's right, kid. That's exactly right. No, he's not bad at all. He's only 24. So, and I think he'll be good for the future. I'm just saying for that sort of deep push, I just think you need, I don't know if a seasoned veteran, but I just think they need, you know, someone that sort of middle level sort of guard.
What's Giannis,
that they could...
what's Giannis now then if he's not a seasoned vet? Yeah, you know, what's Middleton then if he's not a seasoned vet? Those guys have been around for a long time now.
I'm saying in the guard position. They're forwards at the end of the day. That's all I'm saying. I just think there's Drew's playing well. Like Drew is playing very well with that team. Like he's, you know, comparing to the other trade partner that went the other way, you know, he's going very well on that team. But Torrey Craig's I don't know. DJ Augustine's still there. I just think they're one guard short, one true sort of guard. It doesn't have to be like a lights out player. Just, you know, one more maybe.
But a good rotational piece, like an extra rotational mm-hmm. piece that they can mm-hmm. take into the playoffs. So I think mm-hmm. that they can trust to mm-hmm. come off the bench and sort of and keep everything afloat while they give Giannis and Middleton and Drew Holiday and those guys a rest.
On the other side, but teams that are sort of, I guess, well, on the up, but they're still going. If we pinpoint two teams, one of the first one in the Eastern Conference, the Brooklyn Nets, they're on an 8-game winning streak. For everybody, I mean, and me included, thinking that they... they are offensive-minded. I mean, that's just how it is. But they are keeping some teams, at least to below 100 or pretty low. And it's not like big 140 games like it was at the start.
No, that's right. They started to shore up defensively a little bit. You know, they've recently just come off in the last week to 10 days a West Coast swing where they just gone they've just went 5-0. They're 8-0 against their last 8 Western Conference opponents. And also the thing that sort of stood out to me a little bit as well is against teams that are over 500, they're 12-4. Yes.
That's right.
So they're getting the job done against the good to better teams in the league, and that's the thing too. Like that West Coast swing. I think Kevin Durant played what, one game? So that's just just James Harden and Kyrie Irving going on a Western Conference West Coast swing, and knocking off the Clippers, the Lakers, the big guns. Over there. Like it's crazy.
I'll say it's probably the best way. I was wrong. I think they'll be a really deep playoff push, and I think they'll have the goods. I think they're doing the right thing. You know, if Durant's sort of there's something playing up, let's just rest him because it seems to keep working. I cannot envision a way that they don't make, at the moment, that they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they are dead set making the finals.
I don't think so either, but it's whoever plays them, they're going to be a really tough out. And, you're obviously going to have to outscore them and try and stop that 1-2-3 punch that they've got. And they've also got other good complementary pieces there as well.
Joe Harris is ridiculous this year.
Joe Harris has been playing good. They've got Spencer Dinwiddie to come back.
Yeah.
So they've got really good complementary pieces. Jeff Green's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean.
He has been really great for that team.
I still think. I mean, and it all depends what's happening. It would be very interesting, say, if you look at Andre Drummond, for instance, and he gets bought out by the Cavs. If they pick up him up on the cheap, through waivers, which is next to nothing. I don't think that counts towards your cap, or if it does, it's like $1 or $2 million. If they can pick up Drummond, they'll easy Eastern Conference Finals, pushing then into the finals. Because I still think that's
the only problem. The only problem I see with it is does a team like this with a historically horrendous defensive rating and everything like that. A team like that just doesn't win the NBA Finals. They just don't. How do they evolve their game throughout this season to be prepared for the playoffs, because the playoffs, as per, and it might be a bit different this year. You know, you hope that, there's going to be, you know, real human beings in the stands, you know, and not piped in, you know, not piped in noise. I think this scoring explosion that's happening on the offensive, you know, and just teams unable to contain other teams defensively for long periods of time has got a hell of a lot to do with the energy in the building. You know, whether you're the home team or whether you're the away team. I think that's not to be underestimated all across the league. And
no, I agree.
Can a team with, they're getting better defensively. I get it. But that's just purely offensively minded like it is. And hey, we'll just figure it out on defense. How do that to me? There's going to have to be adjustments once the playoffs come around. And can they make those adjustments with a first-year head coach? Okay, granted, they've got Mike D'Antoni on the bench there as well at Brooklyn, but he's an extremely offensive-minded coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wait and see. If I had to put money on it,
Do you trust them?
Yes, purely because of, and it's hard to put James Harden in there, but because of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They've been there. They've done this. I know they're offensive minded. I know, but Kevin Durant he's a unicorn. He can do. I just feel like he can. He's one of the best. You know, he's up there, one of the best players I've ever seen as well. I still think they're one short a defensive player, possibly a center. I'm not sure because I don't think DeAndre Jordan's going to give you a deep sort of playoff, you know, playoff run.
It
or
comes
at least
down to usually in the playoffs it comes down to who can make stops and. Even more so this year now, like you said, with the offensive explosion that's happening, you don't have to make as many stops as what you used to be able to, but you just have to be able to stop teams.
Okay,
and
so
that's going to be a big thing come the playoffs. Still, I think that's still a recipe for success. You know, when it comes to playoff basketball and playing a team possibly seven times, you know, seven straight, you know, seven times in a row if the series goes to seven games. Teams figure other teams out, especially if it's going to be a long season, a long series.
That's exactly right. And then if it ends up, you know, God forbid, you know, they have an outbreak then and they have to I won't say the word, but go into somewhere, teams will just figure that out. They'll just feed, like as you said, they'll play seven games. They'll figure out what the hell's going on. That's my only sort of, I guess, concern with this team is that they'll figure out how do we stop this offensively. We've got seven games or four games to work it out, like four wins to work it out. I just think they need they need another defensive player because if you look at their five, like does this five scare you against, let's just say, Lakers for now? DeAndre Jordan, Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden.
No, there's certain aspects of that doesn't scare you at all. But there's definitely three of those five guys do scare you. And then if you can have somebody like a Joe Harris, you know, who can be a pick and pop type player or a catch and shoot type player, then that's an extremely scary lineup that can spread the floor, that can take you one on one. Two guys there that have got unbelievable handles, can get to the cup anytime they want and are unbelievable at finishing at the hoop. Like, not that, do you know what I mean? Like that's the part of it as well. It's the finishing at the hoop is for guys their size. They're unbelievably efficient around the basket.
If I put that five up against, you know, let's say LeBron will definitely take, Kevin Durant will definitely take LeBron. In terms of the other way, the offensive way, and then you can look at the rest. But who the hell's out of that team is going to stop AD if he's healthy? Who's going to stop AD? Like literally, that's what I'm sort of getting.
Right.
I don't think anybody in that team at the moment can stop someone like that if they get that deep. That's what I sort of picked in my head. Yeah.
There's mismatches and there's ways to create mismatches with pick and roll as well. So. You know, they're not always going to be defending the same player all the time. It's about movement defensively and about, you know, either getting over or getting under screens. And especially against Brooklyn is being quick on your feet laterally, you know, to not let guys like Kyrie and James Harden blow by you. I think that's going to be a big thing as well.
On the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz. I mean, at the moment they've got the best record in the league in 26-6. We did talk about them last week.
They're doing what Frank the Tank wanted to do. They're streaking. Like it's unbelievable what they're doing. Like, you know, they had another 9-game win streak before they lost to the Clippers last week, and that was a sort of a loss that just come out of nowhere as well. Like the Clippers played unbelievable in that game to knock off Utah, and they're just rolling along again, and they're looking like an extremely tough out. But I ask you the same question that I asked of you of Brooklyn. Do you trust Utah to make a deep run into the playoffs?
With their team makeup at the moment, I'd have to say yes, because we've said this in the last year or so that they are the deepest teams in the NBA. They really are. I mean, if you go through their one night, they are deep. They are very deep. You know, they do.
And they've got threats from everywhere. All over the court. Everywhere.
Literally. Jordan Clarkson is lights out sixth man of the year. You know, so Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert's most likely to get a defensive player of the year because he's playing better this year. Bojan's, you know, on the bench. Mike Conley, Joe Ingles, Derek Favors, Niang, you know, George's Niang. Like Royce O'Neal's still there in our power forward. They are deep. So, yes, I think so. I guess my concern, because who did they lose to last year? It was the Denver Nuggets, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It was Jamal Murray.
Right. They lost three straight.
And
that was one of the teams that Denver came back down 3-1 in the series.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you look, I'm just looking at the sort of the matchups there. If they can continue on this run, then yes, I believe they've got the weapons to stay deep. I don't think they go after anybody. I think they have the perfect amount of team, really, at the end of the – that's what I think. I think they can. I mean, I don't have to slide some games or rest some players, but I think it's advantageous personally for them that they finish first, for the pure fact that if they finish if they finish first, they do not have to play both LA sides until the finals. So that's hugely advantageous. Plus plus the Utah's got the altitude, like Denver.
Yeah, not as much as what does.
No, but it's still
Denver.
A factor.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a factor there.
So I think if they can stay first, I think they'll have a deep playoff run and get to the final. And if they can possibly get to the finals without having to play any of the LA teams up until then.
And some extremely hostile fans as well. Like, you know, they're one of the teams that's out there that's actually got fans in the building. So, those things are going to become a factor the more that this season rolls on. They've just come out with the second half of the season schedule after the All-Star break and everything. So I would think that they will be definitely pushing to try and get more arenas opened up.
Yeah, definitely.
And to get more fans in the building. So I'm pretty sure New Orleans is just up theirs to over 2,000 people in the building now. So that's just looking at it from my team's perspective. But, you know, even last week, Brooklyn had fans in the building for the first time. The Nets had fans in the building for the first time this season. So, that's a good thing. That means, the biggest market that's out there in New York, getting people, getting bums on seats and getting just that little bit of normality back into the players' lives in hearing, you know, like I said before, actual human beings inside the arena.
Oh, it makes a difference. It does.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I mean. Okay, we all say about, you know, that they do it for the paycheck and everything like that, and they do it for the fame and notoriety, but it's entertainment. It's to please the fans in the building.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And a lot of players draw off that energy, and sometimes, you know, you see lopsided games where the life is just sucked out of teams because they just haven't got that, they're just not getting that juice at the moment.
Moving on to, I guess, the sort of last thing or the big thing we wanted to talk about was the All-Star, the 2021 All-Star game. So the not only obviously the starters have been named since we've talked about it, but also the reserves have been named. Starting with the starters, if we look at the Western Conference starters, I'll go through them and then we'll talk about the players later. But the Western Conference starters, the guards are Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. The forwards are LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, and the center is Nikola Jokic.
Look, this, yeah, solid team. There's been a little bit of outcry by the media in the U.S. that Damian Lillard should have been a starter and not Luka Doncic. People are sort of pointing out that they're having a bit of a boo-hoo that Doncic shouldn't be there because, you know, the Mavericks aren't having the greatest season of all. You know, that they're at the moment they're only one game under 500, but when these teams were named, I think they were two or three games below 500, and I think I was watching Get Up, and it was just Jay Will, and Jalen Rose were just smashing this decision of Luka Doncic being over Damian Lillard, and I don't find that founded at all. I think, you know, Doncic deserves to be there. And it's not disrespect to Damian Lillard at all. And if the first thing they want to do is come out and say that, oh, your team has to be over 500 to be a starter, then look no further than the team on the other side of the ledger there in the Eastern Conference team. Oh, look at Bradley Beal. He's a starter.
Yeah.
Wizards are well below 500. You're telling me that they should just go, nah, don't want to worry about him as a starter because his team's under 500? Like, give me a break. Last year, Trae Young was a starter. Atlanta was under 500. Like, you poke holes in it everywhere. It's just them fighting for their boy, Damian Lillard. That's all. Like, you just got to let these things happen. You know, the fans have a say in this, along with the media and other players and coaches. So that's just what it is.
I think he should have been starter. And I voted for him. I'm not crying over spilt milk for the fact of it went, the fan vote was Doncic, as you know, for guards was, you know, number one. Well, they basically tied, you know, between the fan votes, the media vote and the players vote, they tied. But then the count back, so to speak, went to the fans because this is why the whole game is for, really, is for the fans. I think he should have been there. I mean, he was clearly on the reserves, which we'll talk about in a second. But I'm not going to cry spilt milk over it. Look, Luka's still in the MVP conversation, which is ridiculous for the way they're playing. Just to put it in perspective of how good he's playing.
Did you see what he did the other day? Like, unbelievable. Yeah. Like, just, I think it might have been on Wednesday. It was just two gigantic threes in the final 20 seconds to beat Boston, who are on a bit of a skid at the moment as well. But he came up massive. And the only reason that I was sort of watching this game a little bit as well is that he was sitting on 25 points throughout that game for a long, long time in the fourth quarter. And I had him to score over 31 points. So, you know, it just unceremoniously, he just goes out there and hits two massive threes, gets himself 31 points, and I'm a winner. So, you know, I was heavily invested in watching that game, but he just seconds, like, unbelievable, man.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I No, and he was going to be in the game anyway, so who cares if they start? At the end of the day, who cares?
And that's the thing. Like, when it's all said and done, like at the end of everyone's career, like nobody's going to go out there and go, ooh, you know, Luka Doncic was a, you know, an 11-time All-Star but a 5-time starter. Like, nobody gives a crap about that.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's you're a certain number of All-Stars.
That's right.
Nobody cares if you started or you didn't start. Like it's just that's what it is. So
that's when they name it. When they name it, they say first time All Star.
That's right. And it's totally different these days now. Anyway, with the whole All Star draft, and you know each captain gets to pick each team rather than just going conference by conference.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea. It's like schoolyard where you just. Yeah, you know, you pick who you want to pick, and you just see who's left out.
Well, that's right. How long do you think this will last? Do you think this will be it forever now? Like,
yes, I do. I really do. I think it's good because I just think it. Well, I mean, to be honest, but if you look at the East and the West anyway, they're pretty even. If you look at the East and West teams, I think they're very very even. So
that's right. It can still be a competitive game if you pit. You know, the West versus the East.
It is. Look at the teams. I think it is very competitive. If we look at the Eastern Conference starters, I think they're all fairly straightforward. Your guards are Kyrie Irving and Bradley Beal. And the forwards are Durant, Giannis, and Joel Embiid in the center. I don't think, and this is fan vote, this is everything. I think that was pretty much... You're 1-5. I don't think that was going to change at all.
No, I don't think there was going to be any sort of surprises thrown out in the Eastern Conference there.
No. The reserves will stay with the Eastern. James Harden, first-time All-Star starter Julius Randle was named. Jason Tatum, first-time, you know, there's three first-time All-Star All-Star appearance for the Eastern Conference reserves. Jason Tatum was named, but Jaylen Brown and Zach LaVine, that's their first call-up. Ben Simmons, again, it's his third All-Star appearance. And Nikola Vucevic, 30-year-old,
just slides on in there, you know, on a really sort of ordinary Orlando team, and he gets the votes, and that's terrific. That's terrific for them. Like he's a good player. I like what he does. He does a lot of the dirty work. He's a good rebounder. He gets a lot of points in the paint. He can also shoot the three as well. So, you know, it doesn't fall in love with it, but I like the way that Vukovic plays. And
I like the way Vukovic plays. I just I wouldn't have if he wasn't there, it wouldn't have been bother me if Sabonis was there. That was just my sort of thought on that. If I had
no,
replace
that's right. And I think like we said before as well, you know, the guys like Chris Middleton who missed out, and Trae Young, who missed out as well, which I thought was a bit of a, an odd one that Trae Young had missed out, and it's fallen out of popularity with everyone at the moment. So right. Well, and also, you know, when you've got guys that have come over, you know, a guy who's come over from the Western Conference in James Harden, I think that sort of squeezed him out a little bit as well, and obviously Jaylen Brown. You know, plays in that guard position as well. So that sort of squeezed him out a little bit as well.
The Western Conference reserves, 11-time now All-Star appearance for Chris Paul. Paul George, Dame, we just mentioned before, was named. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, there's two for the Jazz. First-time All-Star appearance for Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis was named, but will be replaced by Devin Booker because he's injured. So... I mean, honestly, I think it was inevitable. Not just fan vote, it's just everything. Zion was going to be there in this game.
Oh, absolutely, it was. Like
this is a Zion Williamson game. It is. I mean, look how he was when he just that little bit when he played for the rookies and sophomore versus USA. It was
now he's in with the big boys, so. It's this is one of those games that's sort of, I guess, sort of tailor made for Zion a little bit. You know, get on Zion to win All-Star Game MVP. I reckon he's going to take it to everybody. Like, there's no defense in an All-Star Game, none.
So it's like playing, it's like, you know, the Brooklyn Nets.
It's just the muckaround game. I reckon he's going to go all guns blazing, and he is just going to torch everybody under the hoop.
That's not bad, really, if you think of it. That's actually not a bad call at all. I don't mind that, actually.
That's the homer in me, but I just think that it's made for one of those, yeah, a play like that, especially being the star-studded affair that it is, and yeah, him sort of whether he's going to be in awe of everybody that he's playing against and playing with. It'll be interesting to find out where he actually gets picked. The All-Star draft is only like a couple of days before the actual All-Star game. The All-Star draft is on the 4th of March, and the game is on the 7th. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls in the pecking order and who picks who. I think that's the only thing to me that sort of makes this interesting, and they sort of made it a little bit of a TV event, you know, in regards to sort of teams picking and stuff like that as well. So, but like I said,
that is interesting, actually, because what interests me is that LeBron will get the first pick because he gets the most vote getter. Who LeBron picks, because there's going to be no AD in the starters, and you would just suspect Kevin Durant's going to pick Kyrie Irving in his first pick. So it'll be interesting to see which way LeBron goes. I don't know. I personally think he'll go a Curry or a Nikola Jokic.
I don't think there's any doubt it's going to be Steph Curry.
You know, or not Giannis? You don't think he'll pick Giannis first? Oh my God, those two together. Oh, I just said it'd be very interesting.
Yeah, no, that's it. I got no doubt that he'll pick somebody like Steph Curry.
I haven't thought about it, but I'd say I feel like LeBron will pick someone like Zion. I think he'll over Durant.
I think he will.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really do.
I think he'll be once the starters have been picked.
I think he'll
be the first reserve gone.
Really? Ooh, I think
and once again, I think that's just the homer in me, but I just out of those guys, I just think that he's going to be one of the more exciting guys to play with.
I think the first one. They'll want highlights, right? Yeah. He won't be last.
There's going to be 10 lobs to Zion during that game.
I think someone like Dame Lillard will be the first reserve to go personally, and that means he'll go to Kevin Durant. So he'll probably be the first one to pick while LeBron. I don't know. It just depends how the makeup of the team goes when they sort of start drafting. So,
yeah.
I think we touched on a couple. Any sort of surprises or snubs? We touched on the surprises, but any snubs? I mean, Devin Booker was snubbed, but he's in the team now.
Yeah. Look, like I said, I think that the main ones that were out there. I think two for me in the Eastern Conference was Trae Young and Chris Middleton, you know, not making the cut, but you know, it's the fact of James Harden moving from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference and how well Jaylen Brown has been playing. I think, you know, Jaylen Brown was touted, to be an all-star last year and he didn't quite make the cut. So, that's like all the disrespect supposedly around Devin Booker, but he ended up getting in anyway. So it is what it is.
I don't know if it's disrespect, because if I looked at Devin Booker's stats, he it's purely because Chris Paul's there. The team's going great, which is probably the best thing about it, but he's not having that sort of season and that's purely because Chris Paul's there. You know, he's not having that lights out season he has in the last couple of years. So I think he deserves to be there. I just don't know. I think it's just going on their result or their record. It's so weird. It's not weird, but it's so interesting just how one little change. It was probably two, because if I think Jay Crowder probably made a bit of a difference there, but just that
absolutely
team.
Absolutely has. Like, that team. I think more I think more on the defensive side a little bit for Jay Crowder. Like, he's not lighting it up like he did for Miami last year and like he did in Miami's playoff run, because I think he was shooting 44-45% from three last year. Like, he didn't look like he was going to miss. And this year he's sort of come back to, being an average shooter and being what he has been this year. Sorry, not this year, but, throughout his career. And that's, between a 32 and 35% three-point shooter. So he's come back to the pack a little bit. He's obviously not lighting it up like he did for Miami last year. But those two little subtle changes have definitely made a difference to the Phoenix Suns. And when you bring in somebody like a Chris Paul, and it looks like just looks like he's having fun. I don't think he was having a lot of fun those couple of years in Houston. He looked like he was having a little bit more fun last year with Oklahoma City. And he's totally sort of reignited his career a little bit, and it showed now with an All-Star appearance.
Yeah. I agree.
He's only averaging like 16 and 8.5 games, so they're not overly eyeball popping numbers for an All-Star, but I think it's just the fact that Phoenix have become extremely relevant this year, and a lot of it has to do with CP3.
He's such a Devin Booker's. It's his middle name's Amani. It's such a young person's middle name, like Amani.
Oh, isn't it?
My God, like I looked at him and wow, that's such a 20-year-old middle name. My God. Well, one more thing before we finish up, I got Amani on the brain.
Yeah, I do have Amani on the brain. I find it funny again this year, with the way that the pandemic is sort of still going across the NBA.
I know where this is going.
We're having Not only do these guys that work for Turner, that work for ESPN, that work for the big companies, not only have they got the greatest job in the world that they get to commentate on the NBA, but now they get to do it from their home. They get to just sit in their basement and hope that their internet connection doesn't crap out like it did the other day to Dave Pasch. And Mark Jackson has got to sit there for 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes to do play-by-play while they try and get his connection back up. So they just get to sit in their basement now and not travel and do all the fun things that they would normally do on the road. Like, give me a break.
I guarantee the first thing is I'll sit in their basement. And secondly, you would think, and they're probably in big houses. That's not the point. You think that they're going on national TV, that who they work for, your Turner Broadcasting and your Disney, would make sure you've got the best optimal internet possible. And it's just not the case.
Absolutely. It happens all the time. But the thing is, though, it's the game is being broadcast live. They're coming in over the internet, and I get American internet is probably unbelievable. The internet in this country sucks.
Oh, imagine if we did just, it.
yeah, exactly. Well, they do it in the NBL, and it's terrible.
It'd be like you say, oh, there's a three, and that was five minutes ago.
All of a sudden, everybody's up the other end of the court, and they go, oh wow, what a terrific three. But that's what it feels like. Yeah, what it feels like in the NBA as well. Like, it's just that small little delay, and then you get a situation like you did today with Marv Albert and Chris Webber, and Marv Albert is just stomping all over Chris Webber, and he's trying to get his point across, and he just keep Marv Albert is doing Marv Albert things and just commentating on the game, and Chris Webber's trying to get some points across. And he just can't do it because there's that delay there, and it sounds freaking terrible.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, surely they can give him, or at least sort of work out. They probably can't push it, but once they get that vaccine, they should be out in the road, really, at the end of the day. Or just get local people.
I say it on every pod. It's just unprofessional. It's a multi-multi-billion-dollar industry, and you can't send your commentators to games.
Or if you can't have them there, and they can chime in when they need to, have play-by-play players there that live in these cities and every. I'm sure.
Yeah, just have it as the regional broadcast.
Exactly. Have a regional broadcast. Every team's got them. Exactly. Every team has them. Have the regional broadcast. It would probably be. I've heard a couple regional broadcasts.
Oh my God! You think I'm a homer? It's biased. Good grief!
It's biased, oh, but man. It's pretty fun. Some of it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh man, some of the regional broadcasts. Holy mackerel, they are unbelievably home biased. And they're not even shy about it at all. They just rip.
No. I remember, when Ben Simmons, I can't remember the Philly person was, and Ben Simmons got a three, he just went ballistic. He was going boom. It's just like, it was hilarious.
I think that, what are they called? They're called 96 the Fan or something like that in Philadelphia. And they're one of the worst. I can't think of a comment saying, his name off that. The top of my head.
People would love that. You couldn't tell me people wouldn't like that. They would love that.
Fans would like that.
Yeah, okay, maybe the ones that are away won't, but then they'll get their turn. That's what I'm sort of getting.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Everybody gets their turn. Everybody plays the same amount of home games and away games.
It's completely unprofessional. It's hard to watch. Like, it's probably easier just to...
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is hard to sort of listen to, and it's funny too, and one of the games that was on last week as well, just before we sort of wrap everything up, I thought it was really funny that on the Tuesday version, of the Turner broadcast, where it's Adam Lefkoe and D Wade and Shaquille O'Neal, and it was the Memphis Grizzlies and the Pels, and Zion is, they sort of started pulling all these stats out of their butt, saying, Zion is on pace this season for 24 plus points per game, which is actually sort of pushed that above that, and 60% field goal shooting. And there's only like three guys in the league that have actually done that in Kevin McHale, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain. And Shaquille O'Neal started to question it. He's like, hang on a minute. Surely I did that. Surely I averaged more than 24 points a game and more than 60% from the field. So they got all their statistical guys onto it and everything. So in the 93-94 season with the Magic, he was averaging 29 points per game. So he blew that number out of the water. His field goal percentage was 59.9%.
Wow.
And then he just started to call himself a bum. I'm a bum. Like, how did I not? It was just funny the way that he was saying it. Like, if you can look it up, like, if you want to calling himself a bum. But he decided, D Wade, take all my championships. I don't want him anymore. I was a bum. And it's like, good grief. Like, Shaq's a little hard on himself, but that's just Shaq being Shaq.
That's just Shaq being Shaq. That's because Shaq.
It was just funny. Like, I can't sort of do it justice the way that Shaq.
I think picking up out of that, I just think it's Shaq being Shaq. Yeah, but because he knows and everyone knows he's one of the most dominant players ever, so you would think, it'd be a lot better. But clearly that's not the case.
That's right. Yeah, 59.9. Like, he got the stats gurus out there, and that was the 93-94 season. So the funny thing about that is that's his second year in the league.
Wow.
That was his second year in the league.
Holy shit. Wow.
That's unbelievable. It was just dominant from the get-go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
29 points per game. He would have been averaging 11, 12 rebounds. Just an incredible player.
Listen to Hakeem interviews and Dikembe interviews about him. They just said it's he's unguardable when he's in there. His frame and just how powerful he is.
You look at a guy that come in the same draft as him and Alonzo Mourning, and Alonzo Mourning was just ripped as hell, but he had no chance in stopping just the bulk and the girth of Shaquille O'Neal. And how many times if you look up Alonzo, you could probably Google or YouTube Alonzo Mourning getting dunked on. And he used to put a lot of effort into his defense, but man, Shaq put a lot on him, especially in their primes, whether or not he was at Charlotte or whether or not he was at the Miami Heat. Like, it's just funny to sort of to listen to, it just says sort of how loose Shaq. I think he's a little bit more loose on the Tuesday show than what he is. Oh, with
the players only one. He loves it.
Yeah.
When I was watching, just to finish up, I was watching that, on YouTube, I was watching that, and Jimmy Butler was on, and I can't remember the host name, but the Adam host... Lefkoe. Sorry?
Adam Lefkoe.
Yeah, he used to do... What was the one they used to do? Like, there was an Australian in there and that. I can't remember what the one they used to do. It was just, like, four guys. But anyway, it was on TNT, and Jimmy Butler was there, and he's... it's... Skipping my mind the words he used, but basically, you know, they all had questions for Jimmy Butler, and obviously D-Wade knows him more than all them, clearly. And he said, he goes, I wonder what it's like, how you are as a hang. And then Shaq just tore him to pieces, said, oh, so you're asking how he hangs. And there's just every, like every 5 minutes, but he didn't ask that. He said, I wonder how you are like a hang, you know, like a hang, you know, hang out kind of thing. And Shaq every 5 minutes, and then even right at the end, he just went, yeah, you'll have to find out how he hangs. And just
how
like,
he hangs.
And just kept saying it was, yeah. And Jimmy was loving it too. Jimmy was just, you know, just, yeah, it was very, very funny. And as in Shaq, he was so relaxed on that one. He's relaxed on most of them.
He's relaxed on both, but I think he really sort of likes being on there, especially with D Wade. And I'm a little bit dirty. They haven't brought my man B Diddy back on.
I don't mind.
He's such a strange cat, but he's so funny, man. He is a funny dude.
I don't mind Candace Parker. I'm just her ridiculous outfits. Like you're on TV, you don't wear a massive hat. Like come on. I know it's supposed to be relaxing now, but you're inside and the hat's like
Shaq
this big.
Shaq's been wearing a beret lately.
Yeah, but that's good point. I did say inside, but this hat was like this big. It was massive. Like she was just about to go, and it's not the greatest weather over there, so it's not like she's going out the sun.
Oh,
so,
man, they are just going through a serious freaking.
Especially Houston. Houston get
blizzard
at Houston.
The moment. Like they had to reschedule games in Dallas, not just for the NBA, but for the NHL as well, because it's just a city that's not equipped to handle snow.
Texas.
Like
well, look at Houston, the Hurricanes in that. I don't, they're just in that. Anyway, in the South's obviously not that good.
That's what I mean. The whole country is freezing except for Florida at the moment. It's just the Florida never freezes, but it's extremely bizarre. Yeah, the weather that's happening.
Like there's a thousand reasons to be in Florida.
Oh, no, absolutely it is.
Well, that'll do it this week for the NBA pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod, and also Facebook, which is, you know, pretty straightforward, Final Play Podcast, where you'll find all our links to where you can get all our podcasts, every single 120 plus of them. They're also all up. I believe I've just had a quick look. I believe they're still all up. I didn't scroll all the way down, but they're all up on Gimco, gimco.com.au, which is, again, it's your trading card extravaganza is what I'm going to say, because it's not that. They're brilliant and they're priced well and all that, but just what price is the cards going for? It's mind-boggling. It really is mind-boggling. I'm saying people have got nothing to do but spend money. I know you love it as a hobby and everything like that, but it's like you're starting to get in the stock market game, because you've got to go, well,
I haven't bought any. I haven't bought any Bitcoin or Dogecoin just yet, but
I think this is your Bitcoin. I think it is, because
this is way more fun than Bitcoin.
Well, like I said, I think it's better, because then you never see Bitcoin, but you're actually seeing a card in your hand. Well, not in the hand. It'll be probably in plastic sleeve or something with like gloves on or something like that. But it's fascinating. It really is. I continue to be fascinated by it purely because of the exorbitant amount of money that's getting thrown around in these cards.
No, that's right. And a lot of the old retro stuff too, like the stuff that was like super mass produced, especially like, not so much the NBA cards though, because there's not a whole lot of value in those mass produced stuff. Sort of mid 90s to late 90s. Once they started to make the limited runs, once they started to get towards the turn of the century, a little bit more popular and going for a lot more money. But at the moment, you know, like non-sports trading cards, you know, stuff like, you know, your Marvel cards and stuff like that. Some of the old school stuff like that at the moment is just going through the roof. Nice. You know, if you've got sealed boxes from like 1995 or 1996, you look on eBay, they go for $700 or $800 a box, like US. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm so glad I've got like some of these boxes that I've seen, I've got sets of. So it's just like, so I can, you know, what can I get for these? Not that I'd ever sell them, but you know what I mean? Like the value of them at the moment is just, it's going,
it's insane.
Going through the roof. It's coming back, and it's coming back in a big way.
I'm waiting for some NBA and NFL breaks to come back on. It seems to be all NRL and AFL at the moment, which is fine, but waiting for some NBA.
NBA Friday, NBA Sundays are still out there. I think the NFL will be, I think we said it last week, they'll probably be a little bit few and far between at the moment, or they'll just be like super cheapies for the moment, or like a one-box prison break where you can actually buy the team that you want for sort of at a reduced price because it's only one box. So those will sort of start to trickle in, I think, as the year goes on.
Imagine if you get someone... it's sold out. Of course it's sold out. your NFL one comes up and you get the Jaguars, and then it's the Trevor Lawrence card just pulled.
Well, they'll be the team next year.
Oh my god. Yeah, no one will give that up. Not one person if they randomly get the Jags. They're not gonna give that up.
The Jags.
So well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. I love saying all of our Leigh Smith.
Oh, love it. Like LeBron is he's starting to age more and more as the more and more time that Anthony Davis spends on the sidelines. It's fantastic. that's what he is. He's keeping LeBron long. Did you see LeBron's air ball? He tried to do Damian Lillard and shoot from the logo, and it just went for an air ball, and just everyone on social media just destroyed him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's not your lane.
If AD was there, if he had been using the Anthony Davis oil of Olay, then yeah, that might have got a little bit closer. But I guess sort of struggle street a little bit for the Lakers, much to my pleasure. So
that's not his lane. No, don't worry about us. We're good. We'll still be fine.
Yeah. No, don't worry. You'll still be in the end. I'm Miles. Take me back to Miami Plum. everybody enjoy the weather at the moment. The weather's been fantastic. So the weather's always fantastic in South Florida. So you know, lap it up if you can.
Have a good week, everyone. See ya.
See ya.